It's the Elle Duncan Show, and it's coming to you live. But of course, I have like monster issues with being alone, so I brought my girls and we're back like we never left.
Yes.
Except for that we did leave the studio and now we're freezing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're here with the setup crew in Cleveland and it's raining on. You know what? This is nothing like it was in the studio. Run the damn tease.
I must say, my co-hosts this week are a lot better looking and smarter than Gary. We love you, Gary. You could say that today features a lot of poise.
You can say poise, or you can say poison for Caitlin Clark, because she stays killing her opponents. You see what I did there?
I mean, the only thing I was good at when I was 18 was sneaking in the club.
I can't take
definitely
you serious
did do that.
At all.
I'm different.
Yeah, I'm different.
I'm different.
Up to Albany with the ceiling man.
The production value, ladies. The big three. You got your own intro.
That's nice.
Feel bad and bougie.
We do feel bad and bougie. Hi and welcome. I mean, she is Andrea Carter. She's Chinea Agumike. It feels like certainly if you watched the Elite Eight, then you already know that, and everyone did because it peaked at 16 million viewers. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Let me just say something really quick because the response has been really overwhelming and super cool, and we're so grateful for it. But also, like, it's about the girls on the court. And I think the idea everyone's talking about what a great studio show it was is because so many people were watching the girls. The product was elite.
I've never really, I'm someone who's played in 3 Final Fours. I've had NCAA tournaments.
Subtle flex.
Okay, yeah, but still, like,
I'm someone who's a Wooden Award winner. I've played in 3 Final Fours.
But my point is just like, as someone who has played the game is in its healthiest place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have stars, you have amazing programs, you have top coaches, and the crazy thing is that they're delivering.
Yeah.
Before, you'd be a top player, and you'd be like, oh man, they're game planning, they're scheming. No, they're still getting buckets and then some, and getting wins.
That's the thing, everybody, there's a lot of hype about our show, which I love. It's great, it's amazing, but like, our show is as good as it is because we're so excited for the games.
Yes.
We're so excited for the players, and we're so passionate about what we're seeing. So we're so excited for pregame. Then the first half starts, and it's lit. We're lit at halftime, and then the second half starts. It's crazy, so we're crazier postgame. It just builds.
It's just funny because everyone's like, I can't leave. I can't take breaks because I want to watch us. I'm like, we can't take breaks either.
I love it.
We have to like sprint to the bathroom because we're watching the screen because we love these games.
Yeah. Yes. We would just recommend that you just pee yourself. It's fine. Depends. Diapers. It works.
Figure it out.
You know what I think is cool, too? Like, we meet with all the teams, giving you a little behind the scenes on Wednesdays before the Final Four, and they all come in, and it's like this big room, and the coaches come in and whatever. I thought Gino Auriemma, amongst all the many pearls of wisdom that he dropped on us yesterday,
right, yeah.
One of the cool things that he thought that I thought was really cool that he said was when he talks about the ratings aside, like all of that, the coolest part to him is the idea that people used to like some of these superstars and the validation would be that they play like men. And he brought up Diana Taurasi, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, people would say like, oh, I love her. I love D because she plays like a man, right? White Mamba and whatnot. And he was like, I think the cool thing that he's really been enjoying watching is people just appreciating the women playing within themselves and playing like themselves, appreciating their very specific game as opposed to having to make it about being a man.
Yeah, and one thing that is super cool, and Dre and I talked about it, like, this is a different generation. This is a generation that has had, like, unfiltered access to all things hoops.
Yeah.
Whether it is people, whether it is watching their legends. I mean, y'all were there when you saw Caitlin Clark react to Maya Moore.
Yeah.
You know, before, people would typically, a lot of people, if, like, I'd go to girls' camps, and they say, like, who's your favorite player? Oh, Steph Curry. Mm. Oh, LeBron James. That has changed.
Yeah.
That is no longer the case. It's Caitlin Clark. It's Angel Reese. It's Paige Beckers. It's Maya Moore. It's like, those are the things that make me happy because we don't have to compare ourselves to anything but ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, there are now women like Kiki Irioffen that can dunk the ball, Ashlyn Watkins, but who have they seen dunk? Candace Parker dunked the ball. Brittany Griner can dunk the ball. And so now you see them dunk the ball. Now players in college are dunking the basketball. So young girls, they're starting to train at home to dunk the basketball. Like, there were trainers back when I played. They weren't training women to dunk.
No, drop
like, they
step.
Weren't, yeah, pivot, drop step. But yeah, they weren't working
threat.
On maxing out your vertical or your grip strength for the ball. Like, now young girls are training that way because they see that it's possible. It's just, it's really cool.
It's really cool. And also, too, I mean, you mentioned them. I think, again, the idea that, like, for Brittany Griner, it was, you know, 13, 14, 15 years ago when she was sort of coming onto the national prominence, it was the girl at Baylor that can dunk.
Yeah.
And not any other part of her game or her teammates or all of that. And I think the other thing that I really love about working with you guys is you're so intentional about making sure that we're in a media landscape that obviously falls in love with stars. And rightfully so, I get it. It's very easy to sell Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers as opposed to UConn versus Iowa. But I love that you guys always, because you've played on teams and you know, I love how much of a spotlight you shine on all the other players, on everybody else on the team and the contributions that they make. And I love that you guys don't take the bait in just focusing solely on the superstar. You educate people, like you let people know why Raven Johnson's experience is so important, why she keeps bringing up last year and how difficult a summer with this. I just love that about you guys. I want to give you your flowers there too. And I think that the women's basketball world appreciates and loves that. And then the people that are just joining, because 16 million people peaking in that game, not 16 million of them were women's basketball sort of stands, right? A lot of them are peripheral fans. And the idea that they had the ability to learn something new about someone else is great. So with that, go ahead.
Well, no. I was going to say, you know, I have to give credit for that too, Carolyn Peck.
Yeah.
There was a tournament. I think it was maybe my sophomore year. And mind you, I was not an offensive player. Like, that was not my role. I had a lot of offensive players around me. My role was defense, hustle, heart, all that. It was nowhere close to producing any type of big numbers. And for the tournament, they do B-roll of players.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me up there. And all I did was play defense. All I did was hustling. Like, it was Carolyn Peck or it was Rebecca. I don't know who was talking about me. But it just blew my mind that they picked me. And they recognized the little things that I was doing. So I got to give credit to them, because that moment for me, like, to give players that maybe think they're not being seen, to give them a moment. And then for their families, like, my family was so hyped when they heard my name. They were so excited. Like, that was a big moment for my family. So to be able to give some players those moments means a lot to me.
Also, like, we hoop, right? It's not just two players on a scouting report.
Right.
Like, the way that you win is not predicated on just guarding the star player. It's like knowing who to guard this way or that way, or when that person, you know, so like, that's just natural for us. And then also, I was talking to my big sis NECA about this, because she's the one in the family that's won a championship. So yeah. Thanksgiving, Christmas, I hear it, right? Okay. So, but she always says, like, winning a championship is not about, like, oh my gosh, I'm a champion. It's about holding that trophy and looking to your left and you're looking to your right and seeing the people that helped you be great along the way. It's not just about, you know, the star player. It's about the last player on the bench that rebounded for you, that said, hey, you can take that shot, that makes you hit that shot.
Yeah. Or like that hedge so you can get over and get the steal.
Yes.
Like, there's so many little things about basketball. That's why I love the game so much. You can impact on both sides, and there are so many little things.
We ain't just playing offense on one side.
Yeah, like, no, it's not just offense. It's offense, it's defense. There's so many little things about the game that I wish, like, if we just had time to break it all down.
Clearly we're in love with
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
We're in love with Wilson.
Clearly basketball is the best sport ever.
they say sitting next to a softball player. I'm sorry. I just didn't have the high. I tried. I played. My sister was a basketball player. She was really good too. She honestly probably could have chose me too. She was short, but she was a point guard. For a point guard, she's 5'7". And she, because I wanted to be just like her, I played basketball for like two seasons, if you will, just like a local. And I was so bad. Like, the first time my coach saw me dribbling the ball, he's like, okay, this is going to be your role. You're going to take charges, baby girl.
Oh,
and I'm going to teach you how to shoot free throws.
Told you to put your body on the line that young.
That's literally all I did, was take charges. And I was the LeBron James of taking
Let's
charges.
Go.
But if I had to shoot,
you know your role.
Shit went awry. Yes. Yeah,
you know your role.
You got to know
extra
your role.
Extra possessions.
All right, so with this. Right. She's getting us extra possessions. She's really a glue girl. With that being said, let's talk the actual games, because you mentioned lifting trophies. We're going to do that on Sunday. Before that, we have two fantastic games. People keep saying, like, what are the storylines? I was like, okay, treat top storylines like ESPN storylines. It's like your first game, 36-0, undefeated South Carolina, an absolute buzzsaw, right? And then you've got NC State, which is amazing. They're like the ultimate underdog. And, of course, the nightcap. People expect that those ratings that we saw for Iowa-LSU are going to be obliterated by this game, Iowa taking on UConn. And it's like a choose-your-fighter, Caitlin or Paige. So I'll start there. You choose your fighter. I kind of know where you're going to go with this
one. Wait, I want to hear. I'm curious.
I think I know where you're going
to
go.
We have to pick between Caitlin and Paige?
Yes. Choose your fighter.
That's.
I feel like this. I'm. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
You're not trying to stand on it.
No, no, no. I'm debating. Like there are so many great things about both of them.
Okay.
But like if I were building a team.
Yes.
Or like, are we talking about this game or are we talking about like in general?
Let's go with this particular game.
Oh shoot.
Right. You see what I'm saying? That changes things.
Look to me. And I've been talking to, you know, I got like WNBA group chats, right? I've been talking to a lot of players. They appreciate both. And I think 100%. The coolest thing is that these two women are the two greatest scorers right now in college basketball. And one does it analytically at the highest level that we have ever seen. And the other does it with like a versatility that is so underrated.
Yeah.
What do you like?
Right. That's the cool thing about both of them is it really is just like pick your style. It's hard to say one's better than the other because they're both elite scorers, but their games are different. So if I had to pick.
Yeah, I love that you guys are tap dancing around this answer. It's a damn question.
it's so tough. Like, okay, in this game, it's hard because like Caitlin's ability and her range changes everything. It changes everything. What you do defensively. But then Paige and her versatility, like you said, like she's playing 1-4 at times.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dre. The thing that makes this crazy is that Caitlin Clark defies expectations every time. So you feel like the same way you can't bet against Maya Moore or Diana Taurasi or Asia Wilson, it feels like she makes you feel dumb for betting against her.
Yeah, right? Like that's how I feel. I'm like, how did I really not think? Well, I always thought Caitlin was going to play great. Like, I never had any doubt that Caitlin was going to be great. But now I'm sitting here like, how did I not think Iowa wasn't going to get here?
Like, I chose LSU too. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, now they make us all look crazy.
I'm still thinking to answer this
question.
I was going
to say, I love the fact you guys haven't answered that question at all. But let's expand it then. Make a case for UConn to win this game. If they do what, they're going to win on Friday?
Well, they have the advantage in, I believe, Coach Gino. When it comes to March Madness, the tournaments, no one expected them with limited bodies to be here. He knows what he's doing in these moments. And also, like, Aaliyah Edwards is a key.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times LSU, they didn't really have specific offense.
No.
And they were just like, if we miss it, we're going to get the rebound and put it back in. The IQ that UConn plays with, no shade to LSU because it's a different style. The IQ that UConn plays with, to me, you run the zone. They're going to have offenses that they have on the back of their hand against beating zones. They're going to have players that know how to get to the free throw line, to find the hot hand. And then they're going to realize, oh, they switched to man and you don't have to call a timeout. So, like, there's a preparedness that UConn has. And Aaliyah Edwards, to me, is the most important key because if she's able to play smart on the inside, it's going to be that much harder for Iowa to deal with, I think, UConn.
Yeah, I think Connecticut 100% has a chance. They're the biggest thing to pay attention to for them to be in the game is them staying out of foul trouble.
Correct.
And it's brutal because what is Caitlin so good at doing? Drawing fouls, getting to the free throw line, getting on the body of people, getting to the rim. Like, if you're trying not to foul her, she's probably going to shoot a layup.
Yep.
But if you do foul her, now you have a foul.
Yep.
And now she's going to the free throw line. She's still going to get 2 points.
Yep.
So that dynamic and that matchup is going to be huge. Can Connecticut defend effectively without fouling?
Especially Nika Mule, right, who's probably going to draw the assignment on Caitlin Clark, and she talked about fouling out before. She knows she's got to be smart, and she's your spirit animal. You love Nika Mule.
Can I, give a little credit? Because we're talking about, I don't want to say role players, because I feel like that's demeaning, because these role players are the reason why you're in the Final Four.
Right.
But not having a double-digit output, people are like, oh, she's playing okay. Like, no, there's a reason why some people don't touch double digits. It's because 100% your assignment is to slow down X player, Y player, and you don't care about who gets the credit. Mm-hmm. You're the reason why people win. That's Nika for them. Yeah.
And people also, like, I was sitting there talking to Nika, like, people, she's a big guard. Like, Nika has size. She's such a dog. Her energy that she plays with, the relentlessness that she plays with, and she just knows angles defensively. She has to stay out of foul trouble. It is so tempting at times to reach or to lunge or to just have a silly foul where, like, she loses her mind for a second. She's got to stay locked in, but she can make an impact.
Okay, Miss Tennessee, Miss Stanford, isn't it wild that she has the all-time assists at UConn with how many great guards have come through the program? Now, mind you, a lot of them are scoring guards, but, like, like to say that you own that there, to me blows my mind.
You know what's crazy too is obviously, played at Tennessee, love Tennessee. But as I was sitting there looking at the players, we interviewed them yesterday, and I was just looking at their jerseys and just like UConn, like just seeing them up close. I was just like, I know they're the underdogs because no one expected to be here. But that name across their chest, that means something.
Flex.
Like, I was literally just at one point just staring at the uniforms like, that's, wearing that uniform is different.
It's a flex.
Yes. It's a huge flex.
Yes, it is a flex. And very quickly, make a case for Iowa winning this. And listen, apart from Caitlin Clark, we know Caitlin Clark's going to do her thing. Like, that's not revelatory to anybody. But make a case for Iowa winning this game. They'll do it if.
They'll do it if. I'm going to go with defensively, whatever they decide to scheme to limit Aaliyah Edwards, to limit Paige Beckers, if they execute that and run. Because what is Iowa so good at doing? Their transition offense. What does UConn have? Low numbers. So if they can execute defensively, people underestimate Iowa's defense. Yeah. I've underestimated it.
Sure. Yes.
That's the best part about being an analyst. Like, you can have thoughts that are valid from stats or from numbers, and then you can also admit, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this.
Yeah.
But their defense, if they can execute schemes and then run, I think Iowa's got a chance.
Yeah, and honestly, it's all players not named Caitlin Clark
100%.
Playing bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen, whether it's a Falter, Martin, Marshall, you name it. Yeah. Like, everyone, this is the thing that I keep saying. Everyone knows Caitlin's great at scoring and assisting, but like, there are very few people that give you that irrational confidence that we are meant to be here, that I can play at this level. And also, I was even just saying, like, why is Iowa so comfortable playing with, it's because this is what they have done all season long.
Yeah.
They're dealing with packed out arenas, lines outside, being celebrities. So like, oh, pull up, it's March Madness. Oh, no big deal.
Yeah.
I know how to shoot under these lights. Like, I was wondering the psychology of it, and that's why their players keep producing.
They've also played, they've got the most experience playing together of any of the teams that are left. They've played a lot of games together.
Okay, it's also so cool watching them play with Caitlin.
Yeah.
Like, they know where she's going to go when she's supposed to get the ball. Yes. They know to cut and when, like, Hannah Stolke literally was like, I know when I should turn my head.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm running the floor, I'm like a wide receiver.
Pass, she's like, oh, I got this.
She's like,
she's going to hit me.
She said, it's like a wide receiver, right? Getting the ball. All right, when we come back, we're going to preview NC State and number one overall seed South Carolina. The L. Duncan Show coming to you live from Believeland. Do you still call
this
it
is
that?
For you.
Okay.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Going to put on a show tonight. Caitlin Clark, she's the show.
Oh my! He's good.
You better call somebody.
You know my name now.
Floating in the air, Isaiah Chase.
Pacers are not even supposed to be here.
Still undefeated and still dancing.
That's what makes the Final Four so fun. Anybody can take it.
And UConn,
South Carolina, the Hawkeyes,
the Wolfpack,
are headed back to the Final Four.
Let's go. Coverage starts 6 p.m. Eastern. Welcome back to the L. Duncan Show live from Cleveland.
As we live, baby.
We live, baby.
Live. Andrea, a little cold, but it's lit.
It's freezing. It's really, we're doing our best. You're doing great, sweetie. We're doing our best, but it is freezing. Nonetheless, very quickly, let's wrap up because we talked about, you know, make the case for Iowa, make the case for UConn. The first matchup of the night, 7 p.m. Eastern, is NC State facing undefeated South Carolina. We don't have to make a case for South Carolina because they're 36-0, and we know how good they are. But the one thing that I find really interesting about South Carolina is because NC State, with their guards like exploding in the tournaments, Nia Rivers and Isaiah James, with them both like becoming revelatory next level, they're being talked about more even than the players that are on South Carolina. I think the one detriment to South Carolina in terms of media attention
is that they don't have a supernova star. They just have a whole bunch of them. But if you're Dawn Staley, that is 100% the biggest strength when it comes to wanting to win a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so easy for people covering teams to see, oh, two players scored over 20. Great. Pick clips of them. Let's talk about them. For South Carolina, you can't really do that. Like, you can sometimes because they certainly have players that can pop off and have a big scoring day. But for South Carolina, you have to be a little more in depth and understand what we talked about earlier, the little things.
Yeah.
The little things that they do consistently. It's not easy to clip. You got to find multiple players that do it. They all do things well. You might see six players with 13 points. So then you're like, well, who are we supposed to talk about?
Yes.
And so I think the effort that goes into it, it has to be a little more in-depth when you're talking about South Carolina because so many players do so many things for them to be successful.
Yeah, I was on a team at Stanford where, like, oftentimes, okay, NECA would have a good game or Jeanette Poland or Lindy Rock or Kayla Peterson. And I remember
what a squad, by the way.
I had a little bit of a squad back in the
Another
day.
Flex.
But it was funny because when we'd go into matchups, it wasn't about who's going to show up. It was about, are we going to win?
Yeah.
And Coach Tara would always say, like, well, let me not do her voice.
Do her voice.
Well, you know, UConn has them and Tennessee has them. Well, you know, they may have stars, but winning is fun.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to hear that as a kid. Mm-hmm. We're in a different era of NIL and superstars, whether it's on social, brand deals. You know, kids look, and I don't want to say kids because these are young women.
I've been saying kids all morning. And I know. What is going on?
It's just that we're getting
kids.
Old.
Welcome to 30, baby girl.
Yeah, we're just getting old. But, like, they're looking to their left and their right, but they chose South Carolina for a reason.
Yeah.
They chose because they know that winning is the ultimate validator to their talents.
Yes.
And to me, even though there are stars in the big landscape of things, they want to win it all.
You know what it kind of feels like? Like, who gets the last laugh?
Yeah.
Like, you know, all these stories and all these, if you're on South Carolina side, you're like, she who laughs last laughs the hardest.
Yes.
So, like, that the biggest story is the one at the end.
Correct.
And I think that's the story that they want.
Yes. In 60 seconds, tell me how NC State can pull this miracle. It would, in by terms of just exceeding in expectations, it would be a, do you believe in miracles?
Giant Slayers. Yeah. Taking down number 2 Stanford. Taking down number 1 Texas. This is a team that has dealt, like, they were the it team to start the season. Then they dealt with some adversity. Now, NC State, it's their guards.
Yeah, it's the guards. 100%.
Like, I don't know. I keep saying it. I don't know if there's a player other than Caitlin Clark that has come into the tournament hotter than Isaiah James
has been phenomenal.
Like,
her field goal percentage, her three-pointers, the confidence she's playing with, they get downhill. I'm saying the key for NC State, lean on the guards, get downhill, be the aggressors, knock down shots, and then just play
solid defense.
Defensively. Like, play solid. Their offense is so good.
Yeah.
They just have to play solid defensively. Now, it's a tall task, literally tall, but it's the offense for me. Their ability to get down in transition, get out, run. It's interesting because both teams play fast, but I don't think NC State is going to try and slow down for South Carolina, at least to start the game. I think they're going to be all go.
I think the heat check is going to go crazy.
Yeah, it has to go. Has to. Because what do they have to lose? Like, that's
exactly.
Another thing. Like, that mentality is like, they don't have anything to lose.
What's going on in their schools? Like, men's, women's? What's going on here?
I know. Right. It's insane, right? NC State men and women, both in the Final Four, both underdogs, and both playing the number 1 overall seed. They're playing very loose, and we saw that in their media availability yesterday when they were so fun. We'll end the show with that. But let's get to are they tripping? Or we be tripping? Or is someone tripping? Whatever they put on the graphic. Why you tripping? There we go. We were going to get there eventually. Angel Reese getting a lot of backlash for her press conference after they lost to Iowa. So I want to play the sound for you and just get your thoughts.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human.
First of all, she didn't just sit up there and start commiserating like
someone
asked her a question, and that was her response. And I suppose the good news about women's basketball and the equity that we're starting to see is that we've got horribly bad takes coming from people that don't know anything. So at least that's a positive. But are people tripping for saying, why are you complaining? Why are you up there talking about your hurt ankle? You lost. Just take it.
Absolutely.
Yes. They're tripping, and they're tripping hard. Like, because I just don't understand. Two things can be true. Angel can be this player that has a big personality and is unapologetically her, and she talks trash. That can be true, and her feelings can get hurt for people attacking who she is as a young woman. Two things can be true. So I don't understand how people just expect her to show no emotion when she's asked a question and emotion arises. She's a human. She said it.
And the timing of this matters.
Yeah.
This is a woman who has said, you know, and even her teammates have said, heavy is the head that wears the crown. She was crowned one of the faces of college basketball based off of her success. And the way that she got there was not only being the best on the floor, but also being unapologetically herself. This is a league. I'm talking about league and the W because, like, that's my first reference point. But, like, we know the communities that we represent when we go out there. And I think she's done an excellent job representing herself, her family, her brand, and doing it on her own time. But, like, to me, when you think about these situations, she waited until things were said and done to show, hey, guys, I'm a human too. She didn't have the ability to speak on it because she didn't want to put herself in a space of emotional vulnerability, knowing that the crown that she wears, the crown that she wears is heavy.
Correct.
To me, it takes such a level of poise to be able to withstand what she has withstood, saying that last year, ever since she won, she hasn't really fully been happy, but she has to show up in every space, play hard as a basketball player, be the leader of a team, not let people down, and then finally she can take a break and say, like, look, I've been on this journey, and this is what it's like for me.
Oh, coming up. Like, it came out like that because she's been holding that in.
Correct.
She's been trying to hold it down.
And she, like, it just reminds me of how women are superheroes because she gave a glimpse of what humanity was, and it was beautiful. And also on top of it, to see her sisters next to her uplift her in that moment, that was it.
I hate being the person that, like, quotes, like, from the Barbie movie, but I thought America Ferrera's speech about it being impossible to be a woman, it's like you want your women to be gentle and humble and self-deprecating, and this whole she's the villain, she embraced the villain role, it's because she was made that way. Yeah. It was painted Lily White versus dirty debutante, and it's been that way since she won the national championship last year. And so at some point, it's a defense mechanism. You accept it and you take it and you're like, fine, I'll be that for you. If that's what you're going to make me, I'll accept that role. And the second she shows vulnerability, we're bitching and complaining and whining that she's whining. It just doesn't make it. You are damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And I hope she learns right away, early on. It's so unfortunate she has to learn it this way, that being a woman is impossible. It is impossible. And we do it in the best way that we can, and we show up.
And also at times, being a public figure is impossible.
Correct.
Because these are situations, especially with social media, these people are saying things about Angel that have no business speaking on Angel.
Correct.
Or who she is as a person. And in really in any other sense of time before social media was a thing, they would never be able to put their opinions really anywhere about Angel.
And they're coming from this preconceived notion of what women's basketball was, not what women's basketball is right now. We've been fighting to have players like Angel Reese out there being herself for years.
Correct.
While society has tried to mold us into something that is a palatable product. The most palatable product is exactly who she is, what these women
Authenticity are. Authenticity is the most palatable thing.
Thank you. And that's why we're seeing all the viewership and all the ratings and all that type of stuff, because she exists. The way that she does. Yep. And so to push against that in ways that people don't realize are not tied to the game.
Yeah. You're tripping.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
You are absolutely tripping. We're never tripping, though. And coming back, we'll talk a little. I hear, now I don't know if this is true or not, we'll have our researchers look, that the, like, men are doing some in Phoenix. What is that? Is there a men's tournament? Wait, there's dudes playing?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And
Boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, The L. Duncan Show. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube, you can watch the show. And then on Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, you can watch it live. I would recommend you do that this week, because we've got two beautiful faces, Janae Ogumike and Andrea Carter, who surprisingly still wear less makeup than Gary Streisky.
Oh,
still hanging out.
Wow.
At
wow.
Disney
Why does he
World.
Need makeup?
Shots fired. Still hanging out at Disney World with no kids. We're going to talk about that when Gary returns on the show on Monday. But I joked before the break that there is apparently a whole men's tournament that's happening. You know why I know this? Because I picked that for one of my ESPN bet markets that both the UConn men and women would make the Final Four. That wasn't a super stretch on the UConn men's side. They seem like similarly.
Isn't UConn men's dominance bad for basketball?
This is so bad for
it's
basketball.
It's so bad for basketball. Oh my God.
That 30-0 run was so bad.
What a joke, people that were talking. The reason we have women's basketball, like one of the reasons we have this today is because they were so good.
Yes.
Everyone had to figure out how to beat UConn.
Correct.
I love that point that you guys made. Like everybody figured out how they could go get those. They don't all exist at UConn anymore. Like they've got great players, but all Americans are all over America.
Yes.
But let's talk about this men's game for a moment, just because of DEI. You know, we really need to show some gender equity here, so we'll talk about the men.
This woman.
You know
can we even say it? Can we even say that these days?
Exactly. It's been bastardized. Term? Yeah. UConn versus Alabama. Now, here's the thing. You guys both obviously cover the men. You're on men's game day. You're very plugged into this. Do you think that anyone, like, when did it feel like it was inevitable, like Thanos, that UConn was going to be in this moment? And does it still feel inevitable that they're going to win?
I don't know when it felt like it was inevitable, but honestly, like it felt inevitable just watching them throughout the season. And when we saw the bracket, even though their bracket was difficult, their region was difficult, but like when they went on a 30-0 run, I'm like, there's a 30-0 run.
That's insane.
Like, please.
When we were watching this happen, because we looked up and it was like 29, 59. Like what? What would you do? Like, as a player, I'm going out there and I'm chucking my body at the rim to stop the run, getting to a free throw.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Someone come out.
Just come out there.
You know what's crazy? And this could be like...
I'm not Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Get a fight.
All due respect to Nancy Kerrigan. I'm sorry. It's not funny.
Get into a fight so you can get some free throws.
Yeah. Somebody.
Just start a fight and then we get
some
free throws.
Get someone ejected. Like something. You got to do something. You got to fight back. You got a friend that's like... had a little too much to drink, and you're like, you got to get up. You
got to
fight
We got
back.
To go.
Come on, we're
we
leaving.
We got to go.
We got to get out of here. That was the 30-0 run. Like, they needed to find a way out. Could not find a way out. It's crazy, though, because when I think about, like, NC State going against UConn, like, NC State men, that's also the team that's, like, you have to believe in them.
Yeah.
And Alabama, like, NC State potentially going to win, Alabama potentially winning. Like, there are these underdog teams that you're just like, they have that why not us? Why not us mentality? Because UConn and Purdue, okay, like, those are the teams that we expected.
Okay.
NC State and Alabama?
Yeah.
I mean, what, you didn't expect
Purdue
to be there?
No, I'm just saying, like, talk to me about Zach a little bit, because, like...
Edie?
We talk about, yes, like, we talk about runs, but then when we talk about 40 pieces...
Yeah. I mean, he's dominant. He's huge. We were talking about on our men's show, like, who would you pick to build a team around? And a lot of us were like, Zach Edey, because in the college game, you can't do anything with him. Tennessee fans are mad because he was spending like 6 seconds in the lane. that game was going on while we had a show, so I actually couldn't tune in as intensely as I would have liked to. But it's like, what do you do with him in the middle of the floor? What do you do with him?
Sure. Nothing. He's also been in college for 10 to 12 years. It's like, dude, he's like the Hunter Renfrow for you football fans out there of college basketball. I'm like, yo, how many years of eligibility does this dude have?
He's probably still here.
Yeah, he's still here. God damn. Him and what's the other one? Timmy.
Yeah,
I think he's gone.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, he's been in Gonzaga for 30
years. Drew Timmy.
For 36 years. I'm like, how is this possible? All right. So one of the things that I love about this time of the year is that we always have like some folk hero, somebody that sort of shows up, takes the world by storm. Because again, we're not just impressed with the talent on the court. Like we've got a, like some ironic star. Yeah. Who is your ironic like folk legend from the tournament?
Well, like tourneys past, no one could have predicted Sister Jean.
Oh yeah.
Like Sister Jean pulling up for Loyola. Yeah. Is that supposed to be like Jason Sudeikis this year? No, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, maybe like Travis Scott.
Is Travis
Scott going to show up?
Yeah, he's an ironic sort of. He'll probably be here.
He should have dapped up Maya, but we'll deal with that later.
Yeah, he did. It's fine. We'll deal with that later. He heard all about it, and hopefully, if she comes back, he will too. Travis Scott, by the way, a big Caitlin Clark fan, came to the game that we were at, their regular season finale against Ohio State. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me if it's an actual folk hero or if it's just folk fiction. I made this.
Like to the game?
To March Madness.
Okay. If you made them up, then they're folk fiction.
Exactly. So I'm going to tell you the DJ Burns.
Oh, that's folk hero. Yeah,
folk
hero.
There we go. Yes.
Hero.
Yeah. Can I also say that, like...
Who's awesome, by the way?
Yes.
He's awesome. But what is interesting, because we're being so inclusive here and we're really showing a lot of love to men because they don't ever get any, is that we would never... sort of love a really good woman's player just because she's chubby. Like the DJ Burns effect is because of the chubbiness.
Okay.
Oh, you disagree? You disagree?
I don't.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to say it and put some respect on her game. I don't want to ever demean, like, built strong.
Yeah.
Audie Crooks.
Yeah.
Built strong. I mean, like, I think people... What I loved about what Iowa
State shot putter,
did, yes, exactly. Like, I don't want to demean with, like, the comparison, but, like, I love how people are starting to respect. Like, when I started playing, there was a real thing where, like, coaches would shame you for not having a typical build. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, are you built for buckets? That's all that matters.
Are you built for buckets?
And she is built for freaking buckets.
Yeah.
40 points, most ever in a freshman debut in 25 years. So, yeah, I mean.
And, like, that's also, like, evolution of the game. Like, as far as how the games have been grown, like, DJ Burns, he had a little interview, and he was like, you know, I grew up watching Hakeem Olajuwon, but I ended up looking like Zach Randolph.
Okay, you know what?
He said that about himself. I thought it was just really, I thought it was cool.
That's great. Okay, so we know DJ Burns is real. All right. Darren, who helped Northern Colorado upset UCLA despite the fact that his shorts were backwards for the entire game. This is back in 2002. Is that real or fake?
That's real.
I'm going to say that's real.
Fake.
Dang.
Did you guys ever have any any uniform flubs?
The scariest thing is running out for a game and not realizing whether your jersey is on underneath your warm-ups.
When I played AAU basketball.
For us especially.
Hello. Take it off.
Ratings bananza.
That's all the way up.
When I played AAU basketball, the team I was on was 2 years older than me, so I was like the baby of the team. My first game with this team, I'm on the bench, like, I'm so nervous, I'm ready to go. It was the Georgia Elite. Shout out to Georgia Elite.
Oh, y'all were good.
Yeah, we were elite, actually. Yeah. Ran out onto the court, shorts backwards. And my coach, like, shout out to Tim Ellis also, he's such a sarcastic asshole. I would say that to his face. He literally is. He embraces it. And they gave me so much hell for having my shorts on backwards. He was like, hey, kid. Come on out, your shorts are on backwards, just in front of everybody. It was a good
time. It's okay.
You survived. Yeah, you survived. And now you're thriving. All right, RJ Hunter hits a clutch three to upset Baylor, and his dad falls out of the chair on the court.
That's got
to
be real. I feel like that's a real...
RJ Hunter?
I don't know the name, but like somebody's dad falling out. Like, I feel like I've heard of this happening or seen something.
Really?
But maybe, I mean, I don't know.
Now I feel like it's fake.
Come on, Dre, for the brand, it's Georgia State. This is real. You don't remember?
Yes,
I thought you said he played for Baylor. Oh, he hit
against Baylor.
Yeah, I knew it.
He played for Georgia State. Remember that?
Yeah,
his dad was like the talk of the tournament for the two more games they were in it. Oop. And he fell out of the chair, and like Georgia State goes on this improbable sort of run.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, I got one more for you. Real or fake?
Fake.
Wes Perez. You know what? Wes Perez, coach at Western Kentucky, appeared to pee his pants on the sidelines against Kansas.
Yeah, that's fake.
No,
wait.
That's fake. That's fake. No way.
You're right. It's
no
fake.
Way. Good. First of all, I knew it with Wes Perez. Like, that's not a real person, right?
I don't know.
Wes Perez.
I was like, that ain't a real name.
You're like, I've never heard of a coach Perez. That's too cool.
Nah.
All right. When we come back, we will we will throw a couple of Chinee Andrea's teammates under the bus.
Oh.
What? That's more.
Oh, you did it to me. You did it to me before.
I did.
Start or bench him. Yeah, I know.
Oh. Hey, tell somebody that the L. Duncan Show is litty. New episodes every Mondays and Thursdays, wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch it on YouTube. It's on Spotify. And also on Fridays, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Hey, in case you missed it, Joel Embiid makes his triumphant return. I've just been doing this. What are the Sixers like fifth, sixth in the East? What's going on right now? Where are they at? Nobody knows. I love that. It's like we are right now in the women's basketball world. We got no idea. He says, though, that being out and the injury really took a toll mentally on him. He said, usually when I have injuries, I just tell myself, move on to the next one, get better, and then fix it. He had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. But he said this one took a toll mentally. He was depressed. It was just not a good break. And, Shanae, you certainly have had to battle injuries in your career. I'm just wondering, like, the mindset when, A, you're sitting there watching your team, watching them fall in the standings, and then what it feels like to return.
I mean, it's so difficult for him. And I'm glad he sort of spoke to the mental aspect, because not only was he watching his team, but he was watching his team playing like an MVP.
Yeah.
Like leading the league at the time that he got injured in scoring. And so for him to really have the initiative and like the confidence to come back, even though you only have, wait, hold on. Sorry, guys. I couldn't help myself. The Sixers only have 6 games left in the season. Good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
enough time for him to get his legs. But like what was most impressive to me was that first half, he was like tired. He was bent over. And he still gave you 24 and helped you get the win. Mm-hmm. Some things that translate, even though he may not have his stamina, his ability to get to free throw line. He's number one in the NBA in free throw attempts. And then also just his defensive presence. That's like a game changer. Now at his game, I respect that he came back. Like, yeah, it could have been easier, you know, to just say, you know what, let me just extend this vacation. We're not really in the mix. But he did the right thing. And hopefully, you know, he stays healthy. But I don't know how much noise they're going to make. But as long as he's on the floor, he's going to be a problem for whoever they go up against.
That's what I was going to say. Like, his presence alone on the floor, stamina or not, his presence alone changes everything.
Sure.
Just him being out there changes how they defend. He's also a good passer. He can find his teammates. Like, him being on the floor makes things different. I do think the point about coming back, because honestly, if he didn't come back, no one would really probably say anything. They'd be like, yeah, it makes sense.
I get it.
He could honestly say he still wasn't feeling great. You know what I mean? Like, there's a million reasons why he doesn't have to come back, and he does because he's a competitor.
So is apparently Jared Allen. Did you guys see this sound from yesterday? They confused the whole Jazz broadcast team when he momentarily became the loudest man in the arena after a threes violation was called on Evan Mobley. Listen to this. I mean, bruh, it's just a lane violation. I don't understand.
I don't know what Jared Allen's doing.
I'm not sure either.
So someone on Reddit that we apparently can't say their name. What? On this show? What was her name? Like, Rat 30 or... I just said it anyway. They pointed out that apparently he does this before. My producer saying it wasn't even as bad as what I said. See, there you go.
Whoa!
Of course you made it worse.
Because he just does this in violation of his in celebration of his teammates. You get a 3-second violation, then he is gonna celebrate you and shout you out, and it's gonna be great. But I'm just wondering, because you guys have played on a lot of teams, who's just like the wild teammate? Like just someone that you're like, what? She's insane that you've played with before. You're Jared Allen.
You got one?
Yeah, I do. And I'm gonna shout out Courtney Williams. Courtney Williams,
yeah,
that's
okay.
My dog for life.
Yep.
Energy, like if you're flexing after scoring and you're like, yeah, she's like, yeah, I told you, you're the best. You're like, I'm like, Court, like, yeah. You know, like the ultimate hype up. Now then if it's also something like, okay, man, you ready to fight? She right there.
Yeah.
In your back pocket.
Yeah.
So I love it. Like the good and we stay ready. That's Courtney Williams.
I would have to go with at Tennessee, and I've known her since like middle school. She sounds like a big sister to me. Sierra Burdick.
Ooh, CB.
Sierra? Oh my, there are times I'm telling you, if you do something crazy, yeah, Dre baby. Yeah. Like she's so hype.
Yes.
But then if you do something wrong, Dre baby, you gotta go. Just so we'd be like, Sierra, stop barking. You're barking. Just talk to us. Her energy is like, and Sierra's the one that like practice is over. She's getting up exercise. She's doing extra things.
Yeah.
She's just a dog. And her energy, her scream, and she was, there were a couple of times on the court, there was a fight going to break out. It was probably involving Sierra because other teams hated Sierra. She was the one that, like, you wanted her on your team. I was so glad she was my teammate. But there were, I have some friends that played other teams and they're like, yeah, we hated Sierra. But, it's because she was crazy.
You could always hear her.
In the best way. Yeah, you could hear her. Her voice carries, very unique voice. CB, love you.
You know, sorry, my favorite teammates are like, say you score whatever, they come up like right under you, well, because I'm a post with like, they can't guard you. Like, give it to them, they can't
too
guard
small.
You. Like,
too small. Too small.
Those are my favorite. Let's go. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like everybody needs a wild card and everybody needs a wingman and someone that will come in for the assist. And Andrea Carter served that role for me yesterday when NC State put me on the spot. We will show you that moment and close things out on the other side. Stick around. Shout out to NC State. So the reason that that moment happened is because they told us how loose they are. They were talking about the vibe check and like they love each other and they ad-lib songs and they freestyle. And so then Saniah Rivers jumps up and her teammates kind of didn't like, they gave it like I think Isaiah gave a beat, but then the teammates didn't really jump in. So she's like, we need a vocalist. Ryan Rucco's like, Elle will sing. And then Drea comes in with Final Four.
I don't couldn't leave Elle hanging. Apparently there are players that like jump in for the vocals, but those players weren't in the room.
Correct.
So they needed somebody to bring some vocals and Elle.
The queen of vocals.
Yeah, well, no. Like I say, I am the queen of Shower Records.
Do the people know that you have a record?
Yeah.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah, I did used to have a record deal. And then
drop the album, sis.
I did my first performance. I performed at a club, and it's well before your time.
Is it when you snuck into?
Chili Pepper. I didn't have to sneak into this one because I was 21.
Thank God.
And I performed, and it was so bad, you guys, that like my parents were there. It was so bad. I had backup dancers and everything. It was so bad that when I was like, how'd I do to my parents, they were like, you really gave it your best. I was like, and my career is over.
But your voice is fire.
It's okay. But as we say goodbye from the Elle Duncan Show, remember that we want you to subscribe, rate, and review, and listen to the show on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. We want to say our coverage continues. We've got the Hall of Frickin' Famer Carolyn Peck joining the desk on Friday. We've got Aaliyah Boston joining the desk on Friday. So much amazing women's basketball coverage. And with that, I think that we're going to, can we ad-lib something on the way out? Let's
sure.
put Shanae under the bus. Let's see. Let's put you on the spot. Can you give us, you're from Houston. Can
I need
you
the
give
vocals.
Us some, can you give us some Travis Scott? Okay, so no. You give us a beat. I'll do some vocals. And then I want you to rap by, yeah.
Final Four.
No, you can't steal.
Final Four.
Gine.
These ladies score.
Gine.
At the Final
Gine.
Four.
Gine.
Believe land. Gine. ESPN is our brand.
I'm going to the same thing I did before. Jenea Guamake. Andrea Carter Bay. Carolyn Peck is the boo for life. We want you to make a show, wives. No, we don't.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
no.
That's a lie. Good.
Should we freestyle?